Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is just a quick little pre-episode bit of housekeeping. Hi, Jinxie.
Hey, BL. Yeah, it's a little pre also.
You're about to hear the recording from our live show at the Malthouse Outdoor Stage on the 3rd of February. But before we get there, a tiny bit of housekeeping. Jinxie's heading off to the Berlin Film Festival.
Yeah.
Soon. Yeah. To Sauna and see some movies. And go to that spooky bar from Suspiria.
Oh, and Tar. Go to that cigar bar.
Apartment for sale. The cigar bar from Tar. So we're going to have, as per, a few pre-recorded episodes in the bank for while Jinxie's away. Stay tuned to our Instagram for updates on the poodles that are going to be coming out so you can watch the movies before the episodes are released. But if you're a member of the Hog Hive, we've got a couple of very specifically subscriber-only special episodes. If you're not, now's a perfect time to head over to patreon.com/seeorso and join the Hog Hive.
Yeah, we're going to be back in the same room together in March, BL. I look forward to that day.
Oh my God, the end of Q1.
I'll be looking forward to seeing you, Fräulein.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Tschüss. Hey.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to See Also. That is a long theme, isn't it?
It really
I never hear it. I love it.
We don't usually sit through it. I did want us to do like an Ellen bit, where you know how Ellen doesn't put her butt in the chair until the song is finished? But there aren't arms on the chairs, so it just wasn't logistically possible.
And I suggested pushing the tables together to do a dance over, but Brody wasn't into it. The dress wouldn't make it work.
Yeah, true.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks so much to the Malthouse for hosting my birthday party. Woo!
Yeah, it's a bit of a do the right thing kind of night, this heat. I love it.
Yeah, I don't need my sunglasses anymore, do I? Yeah, I do.
She does.
It's a good thing.
You'll get to really see all of the ins and outs of making our podcast.
Yeah, you got an episode this morning, if you listened, and another one right now, which, you know, you might be able to hear again in a week.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours of us talking, so apologies.
And I hope that you are all having a cocktail, if you are so inclined. We planned for a specialty cocktail from the Malthouse Bar, and you can order it from your tables. It's a vodka sunset. It's the same as a sunrise, but we're here at nighttime.
custom.
It's always midday somewhere or whatever, right?
Yeah, I really wanted to do like a kind of Vanderpump aligned cocktail, but ultimately I didn't want to support mixologist culture. And so it's just an easy mixes.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of braces being worn at the Monthouse Bar. So.
No aquafaba.
No aquafaba.
Yeah.
Before we bring up our incredible guests, it just wouldn't be an episode of See Also without going through the minutiae of our lives with you. I have been like left hanging, wondering how BL you spent your birthday. I texted and she was like, I'll tell you at the show, babe.
Yeah. Don't use up all the material on Tuesday when we've got an hour to fill on Saturday.
But before we get into BL's B-Day, I went to see the Breeders on Monday. Mm-hmm. King Goddesses, amazing. But I was shocked when Josephine Wiggs talked, because doesn't not usually up for banter on stage. But she kind of offered up how she spent her day. And then Kelly Deal told us how she spent her day. And I was just like struck at the back going, it's us.
They're stealing our shit.
They are stealing our gear. The Breeders.
How did they spend their days?
Well, Josephine Wiggs was like, and I will do the accent because you can't get at me on stage. She was like, do you want to know how I spent my day? Woo! Yeah, thanks. First I went to the gallery and then I went to the prison. I didn't go inside, I just walked around. And then I went to the cemetery. That was it. That's how she spent her day in Melbourne. I loved it. I was like, wish I had been at one of those places.
What'd you eat, Josephine?
And then Kelly Deal said, I had coffee, and then I had more coffee, and then I washed trash. And I was like, it is us. It's us. It could be, like, I don't know who is the Josephine, who's the Kelly, but on any given day, that's us.
Yeah, it all comes out in the wash. It's both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you relating to more today?
I feel like this week I've been I went to the cemetery and then I went to a prison. I mean, I didn't actually go to a cemetery or a prison, but I did recently go to the cinemas at Pentridge, which is pretty close.
You went to the prison. That's literally the prison.
And arguably also a cemetery. Probably. I didn't go on the history tour, but probably.
I think so.
Yeah.
But when I was watching them, I also could not stop thinking about that bit in High Octane. I hope that you've watched this because it's so good. It was the TV show that Sofia Coppola and...
Zoe Cassavetes.
I always want to say Gia Carides. Anyway, High Octane. I just kept thinking about it while watching The Breeders because there was a scene in it where Thurston Moore is interviewing Anna Wintour before she wore the glasses all the time to fire everyone from Pitchfork. And...
when she was almost a human woman.
Almost a human woman. And her teenage photos look weirdly like my teenage photos. Yeah, it's kind of freaky.
You also dressed the same. She's kind of like a long necklace in a...
got a friend.
Kate's doing the glasses. And like a turtleneck. And she's in like a British... like there's a low stone wall nearby, which is very you.
I think you invented the low stone wall and I love it. Okay, so Thurston Moore is backstage. He's interviewing Anna and he's like, oh, you recently got Kim Deal to write for Vogue. Once I was backstage with her and she thought that her hair was too clean. So she opened up some sandwiches on the deli table, took the mayonnaise off them with her hands and then put it through her hair, walked on stage. And that is like God-level styling.
Yeah. It was like...
like Shane on the L Word couldn't do that.
Yes. It was like 30 years ago, but you still kind of hope there's a bit of mayo left in her hair this week at the Forum.
Did you do any mayo looks for your birthday?
Sadly, no. Weirdly for me, no. No, for my birthday, I kind of fucked my birthday up last year. So remember how I went to Sydney? I spent 4 days midweek in Sydney to get a slightly cheaper rate at the Ace Hotel. I was like, I'm going to go to an ocean bath every day and I'm going to like eat at every restaurant I want to go to in Sydney. I'm going to have like a really luxe week for my birthday. I planned it my birthday was on Monday and I left for Sydney on Tuesday, so I was kind of just like at the office, like working on my birthday, went to Sydney, went to my first ocean bath, stood on a sea urchin, got brutally sunburned, ate all the rest of my meals in the hotel getting room service, which was great, but it wasn't restaurants. And I was in so much pain and I was red as a fucking tomato. So this year I was like, one day only birthday, learned my lesson, being a lady of leisure. So I went and got a lovely like Japanese set breakfast with my friend for breakfast. And then went and got my nails done. 3 hours later, left the salon with a really elaborate long manicure. And then what did I do? Oh, then my friend Anton took me out for a very fun French dinner at Paris Go in Carlton. We ordered so much food and then we rolled our full little tummies to Cinema Nova and saw The Holdovers.
Oh, I haven't seen.
Kate, I need you to get eyes on it because it's
we need eyes on The Holdovers.
You specifically need eyes on The Holdovers and the like set dressing of just vintage Christmas decorations.
I'm in.
Set in 1970 at Christmas time.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah. And like, I'm not historically a big Alexander Payne fan. I loved Election. I remember hating The Descendants. Somersault was good, but I love Paul Giamatti. And like, see also American Splendor, obviously. And also that episode of the Chris Gethard show, which is called The Dumpster.
Shout out for The Dumpster.
Yeah, one person knows the big reveal. Two people know the big reveal in that episode. Yeah, it's real, like, Paul Giamatti moment. But the guy in it, the Dominic Sessa, who has been, like, discovered in this film, is also really great. But, like, the soundtrack, you're gonna... If you don't like it, I don't think I know you.
This is Wonka all over again.
I know, It might be... Wait, I didn't tell you were going to love Wonka. I just loved Wonka. Anyway, yeah, that was my birthday.
Well, I've got to note that it's very Brodie Lancaster to have a birthday in January. It's like getting through the spreadsheet, getting through Q1.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I told my friend over dinner, I famously started the 90s. I was born January 30th, 1990. Famously, that was me. That was all me. My arrival. Everyone was always saying it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, okay, speaking of everyone always saying a smooth segue, do you have, like, a motto for the year? Like, instead of... Because I'm not doing resolutions, but do you have, like, a... I've got one. My girlfriend and I have one.
You have a proper one. Maybe. I have a catchphrase for the year.
I want to hear it.
That's rich. So it's kind of just like a new way of having like an attitude.
Is it? Hang on. So you've got your own new catchphrase.
Yeah, and I keep forgetting it. I keep forgetting it and I need to be reminded of what my catchphrase that I decided on New Year's Eve was going to be for this year. That's rich.
That's rich.
Your catchphrase is like genuine though and means something.
Oh, I don't
actionable.
No, well, so my girlfriend and I decided instead of having like these resolutions, and I think it was like partly because a friend of mine has this like monthly motto, which is
I couldn't come up with 12 that's riches.
I think she's just doing the same one, but it's like these are her goals. She has two goals for every month: muscles and money.
Ooh.
It's pretty good, right?
Oh, I'm very into that.
Yeah, that's rich.
So wait, you've adopted muscles and money for
2024? No. It's like it's a little bit earnest. Apologies, but enjoy your life from the Romy song. It's like it's the way to live this year.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy your life, babe.
Yeah,
that's rich. Enjoy your life.
That's rich. Coming from you. Just kidding. Well, that's the unspoken part of that's rich. I've taken the attitude out of it. Have I?
No. It needs it. It feeds on it. It needs it.
Okay, so we're going to bring our guests out in just a min. But before we do, we need to have a quick little check-in of something that we witnessed this past week on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which has really kind of driven a stake between us in a way. It's revealed our differing awareness of cultural figures. Merce.
Oh, I mean, like, show of hands for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Okay, so this is, there's enough. There's enough of you. could be more. There's like, you can zip through those seasons.
Yeah. Anyway. There's only 13 of them.
Okay, so I feel like the Scandoval from BPR is going to come up a bit later. This is my Scandoval that Sutton Strack, I'll be quick, Sutton Strack turned up with Merce Cunningham's ashes in a Ziploc bag. It was like, could less, I don't know, could like those worlds colliding is too wild.
This is like when people describe us as covering the high and the low and we resist it. This is that. This is you caring about Merce Cunningham and me being like some dancer, I don't know.
Yeah, Brody was like, and then Sutton's got this, her friend, dead friend's ashes, I don't know.
This friend in a Ziploc, I've never heard of him.
But like, so Merce Cunningham, like very famous modern dance choreographer, partner of John Cage, not John Cale, I always get them confused. But it's like, it's just wild that a housewife ends up with like one of like the most incredible like dancer choreographers, like grandfather of like avant-garde dance, essentially.
Yeah.
Was taught by Martha Graham, Black Mountain College. Like, it's just me.
And he's a character in a little Ziploc bag, which is how I learned about, look, we all have a different way in.
But you and Erica Girardi are the same.
Am I alone in this? I'm having such a connection to Erica this season. She's having the best season she's had in like, what, 6 years?
She's doing well.
There's a reason she was having bad ones. But she is just, I'm aligning with Erica every single episode. And last night when she was wasted at a dinner with people she didn't know and she was like, Sutton has a beautiful soul. And I was like, that would be me if I was in Spain with people who I didn't fucking know. And they were like, I'm an architect and I'm a dancer.
I mean, I am aligning with Crystal, which is...
Wait, tell me more. I didn't know this.
She's found her voice, babe.
She has. I did really like when...
Anne-Marie is a bitch.
The terrible new Anne-Marie said, don't mistake my kindness for weakness. And Crystal just, without missing a beat, said, when have you been kind? And then the scene ended.
It's so good. But Anna Marie saying on camera that her husband told her she's not a 10 in anything, looks, parenting, like her career, sport, nothing. Like at best a 7 or an 8, I think. You dump him.
Horrifying. She's a horrifying presence on my TV.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it.
Anyway, I think it's time.
On that note, I don't enjoy it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We're so excited to welcome our guests tonight, local legends, icons, and recently minted queens of Bravo. Please welcome Stella Mozgawa and Courtney Barnett. Hi, you guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Welcome to the stage.
Thank you. Looks Hello. Good up here. Hi, everyone.
Oh, a gentle wave.
It's not just the breeders that Jinxie saw this week. Also popped over to the recital centre last night.
Just down the street.
Guess who?
Saw the perfect show Guess by who? These two. I'm sure many of you were also there. It was stunning, so thank you for that. But we wanted to get into some special recommendations from you both.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you are both from Australia, different parts.
Correct.
You come home every now and then. Where do you go first when you first get home? Like, what's the place where you're like, I'm back in Melbourne.
I've missed X, and I must go and eat or drink or see it immediately.
That's such a good question.
Well, for a while, when I would come back to Melbourne after tour, I would go straight to Mario's with Tomo, and we'd try to get whatever time I got home, even if it was 6 a.m. flight, go straight to Mario's and have a little pasta.
He's always there.
Yeah.
That's very classic. Mm. Stella, what about you? Is there a Sydney Mario's?
Oh, no Sydney. I don't really... Oh, maybe Fratelli Paradiso.
Mm. Frat Paz. One.
Frat Paz.
Frat Evs.
No one else calls it that,
Frat
really.
Paz for Evs. Frat Paz. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You could tell us that that's what everyone in Sydney
everyone
calls it.
Everyone in Sydney
calls it. She'd know.
It's Frat... Yeah, just popping down to Frat Paz. Yeah, they're good. Is there a place when you go to commune, like when you've been away?
In Melbourne?
Yeah.
Like Chibi's kind of a... Is it a cliche to say... Lam Lam in Northcote, like it really scratches an itch. Lam Lam's a Vietnamese restaurant on High Street. I saw Courtney there once, years ago. We ran into each other at Lam Lam.
I used to live down the road. I used to go there a lot.
I was listening to a podcast you were on, and then I walked into the restaurant and I was like, pause. She knows.
Was it? There's another one, right? Is it?
It's moved.
Okay.
It's opposite Northcote Plaza now. And I don't know what it is, but the vibe's different. Food's the same. Food's just as good.
I haven't been in a while. I should visit.
What happened to Chibi after Harry Styles went
there?
No
photos.
Did something happen?
Stella? No, but there's like a no photo policy now post Harry Styles.
But I don't... Okay. I'm convinced Harry Styles didn't start this.
Who did?
I think Chibi just put up photos saying... A sign saying don't take photos. Right. And Harry Styles toured Australia a year ago, February last year. Those signs were in the Age newspaper, not to call them out, but they reported on Harry Styles fever makes influencers banned at Chibi in November. And they were like, people can't get a table because everyone's going here because Harry Styles did. I was like, it was 9 months ago and you can famously always get a table at Chibi. I just think the Harry Styles...
It's a power move either way, just putting that sign up.
Yeah, also,
good move.
I've taken photos at Chibi in the last 3 months and no one's said or done anything.
Yeah.
They had little jokes on their menus at Christmas time, had to take a pic. Anyway.
Well, that's asking for it.
I was asking to be banned. Where would I go if I was banned from Chibi?
No, the jokes were, they're asking to be photographed.
Truly.
Truly.
It's content.
And they've just expanded. They can deal with me.
It's like painting wings on a wall of a building. You're asking people to take photos.
Stand here and think about someone you love.
Oh. I feel like we have to move straight into our screen recommendations because we're going to spend a little while there and there's nothing we can rush through.
Absolutely Mm-mm. not.
So we asked Stella and Courtney, their first time on the podcast. It's actually a huge career moment for them. Okay, so we asked Courtney and Stella to bring tonight some of the movies and TV shows that they are obsessed with, revisiting, spending a lot of time on. Desert Island picks are usually songs, but like if you're stranded on a desert island, you listen to all your songs in like 15 minutes. So we need a little more time with your selections on the screen.
Mm.
And I feel like reality is a good place to start. It's been occupying quite a lot of your time and brain space lately.
Tell us about
your kind of entry point into reality television.
Your journey.
Where it's taken you recently.
Into the Bravo sphere.
I feel like you started the reality.
Did I?
Yeah, you suggested either Beverly Hills, maybe.
Maybe.
Like you'd seen it and then recommended it.
Yeah. It was a moment of inspiration. I think it was just time. You know, it's time
it's
in everyone's
time.
Life to start the housewives journey, as we most of you know.
What was your in?
Yeah.
Like, where did you start?
Beverly Hills, season one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we grew so attached to Lisa Vanderpump that we immediately abandoned the Housewives franchise completely and moved on to Vanderpump from start to finish.
You kind of followed that backdoor pilot, is that right? As Sheena like walks into Sir and starts fighting with the girls, and then you just kept following that little crisis machine through the next 10 years of her life.
It was the most exciting thing that had happened on screen thus far, and we went there.
Yeah. And I think in Real Housewives, I only ever got up to whatever maybe that season is where it introduces the new show, which is maybe, I don't know, 2011. So all the stuff you guys are talking about, I don't know what that is yet. I'm like 10 years behind.
You haven't met Sutton yet.
The Ashes. Okay. No idea.
She'll come.
The Dancer.
No idea.
You'll see him.
Everyone meets Sutton at the time they were supposed to. So I guess Vanderpump has been like a giant journey for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. I did a binge a few years ago and have since been watching it kind of as it airs. And this week it's kind of a notable week for the Vanderpump community. We got the first post-Scandaball season premiered this week.
Big one.
And so you're like watching along with the fans for the first time.
Huge. Yeah. How many of you have watched it live as it's been happening? The Vanderpump series, like the whole seasons.
Got it.
All of the seasons. All got it. Has everyone Vanderpump watched it post, like post air?
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe like, no like, one does, and this is
because this feels very new to me. Because we've been watching things from 2010.
I feel like I watched three to four seasons in two weeks over Christmas.
And you knew that Scandaval was coming, but you didn't know yet what it was, but you had a few theories. Can you kind of run us through where your head was before you learned that it was kind of just a cheating scandal?
Yeah, so every time someone would talk about it, they would be really shocked that I didn't know what it was and I hadn't ever read about it, and then everyone was making this big deal about it, and it seemed like it was bigger than I don't know what I could have thought it was. So I went into like, I thought it was kind of a money laundering thing through the bars, and then maybe they got like into something really illegal, and then someone had told me that it had been on the news, like, or maybe
CNN. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, maybe it was, you know, something illegal. Maybe someone died. I don't know. So I thought maybe someone was having an affair with Lisa Vanderpump.
Or with Ken.
Yeah.
Not me, but, you know.
It could happen. Using Schwartz and Sandy's as a cover for something, because it's definitely not an operating restaurant. No. It must be a front.
Can I tell you my favourite, one of Courtney's theories, was that Schwartz and Sandy's was a cover-up for a sex den that Greg was running.
I mean, if only that was actually the scandal. So I know, it's so disappointing that it's just like
a
two
shibby
people
bar.
Cheating.
Sleeping with a younger woman behind his girlfriend's back. In retrospect, not that dramatic.
No.
Can I reveal something shocking?
Mm.
And then we can move on from Vanderpump, I'm so sorry. I could stay here all night.
And she has.
I will, and I might. You could all leave. I'll just keep going. I'm listening to Rachel's podcast.
Raquel.
And it is gripping. Rachel Savannah Levis, as she introduces herself in every episode, it's called Rachel Goes Rogue. And when it was announced, I was like, girl, podcasting is not the medium for you. I'm Raquel. Hey, guys. It is so good and so juicy, because she is not under any more contracts and she is airing dirty laundry.
Is she monologuing? Does she have guests?
She has producers who are asking her questions.
Wow.
And she got such pointed feedback from the first two episodes where people were like, why do you laugh while you talk about ruining people's lives? And so then she got on like a psychiatrist in the third episode to be like, why do I laugh when I talk about uncomfortable things? And it's gripping. It's like, you know, sometimes a podcast comes up in your feed and you're like, I'll listen to it later. Rachel Goes Rogue is a must listen immediate drop for me.
Noted.
I'm as surprised as you are.
Okay, you're doing See Also's live. I like it.
We're moving on. We're moving on. That's VPR.
Okay, one show that you mentioned recently, which I have not delved into, but it's got the best title of any reality show, MILF Manor.
Let's get a little count of who here has watched.
Any MILF Manor heads?
Even a single episode, that's three people. Four.
Tomo's got two hands up, so...
That's actually more than I thought. More than I expected.
I watched the first 14 minutes of episode one.
That's good.
Then I turned it off. I felt very uncomfy.
Yeah. Why?
Can you explain the premise of this?
Yes. Okay.
That'll answer your question.
Basically, it's a group of older ladies, single ladies, looking for love. And they have a penchant for younger men. But what they don't know is... Oh, and all of them are mothers. It's a very important detail.
That's the M.
That's the M in MILF. But what they don't know... Okay, so they're in a manor in an exotic part of Mexico. And they're about to meet the... their love interests, and it is revealed that it is all of their sons. Twist. Big twist. And not only do they have to watch their sons flirt with all the other women vying for the young man's attention, they also share a room with their mother. The mother and son are roommates for the whole season, and let me tell you, it's deeply unsuccessful. It's one of the worst reality TV shows I've ever seen, and you have to watch it.
What do you put it down to? Is it the fact that they have to share a room together? Is that the unsuccessful part?
Yeah, it doesn't work because there's not a lot of sex in it, unsurprisingly. There's three awkward drunk kisses through the entire season.
Oh, yeah. It really flopped.
Really, really bad, yeah. And
it's very awkward.
You know, you know a show isn't really working where they have a lot of games, like seven or eight games?
It's like parties
an
also,
episode.
I have to say.
Yeah.
One of the games is each of the women is blindfolded and all of the young men slash their boys, their sons.
Their sons. Their boys.
They're all topless, and the game is that the women have to touch their bodies blindfolded and guess which one is their son. And then if they win, they win points or whatever, however the system
they win the
works.
Game.
The thing I love the most is that we watched it with our friend and we paid $3.99 or whatever it is for the first episode. We're like, let's give it a go. And then... we never bought the full season. We just each week we'd get together. It was like our fun thing that we all did together, and we kept just paying $3.99 per episode instead of $10 for the season or something.
We spent like a good $75 watching.
I love
MILF
that you just
Manor
got recurring
Prime.
Charges on your credit card.
Yeah. What's this?
All the because I started watching it today and I turned it off when the boys arrived and I saw the first boy try to flirt with a mum, not his,
not his own.
But his mum was kind of watching and listening, like she was seeing how well he was doing or seeing how well the other woman who she had just sized up as competition was kind of receiving her son's advances.
Receiving.
And the titles of all the episodes are like they've put the word MILF into a song lyric. So episode one is MILF said knock you out. But they don't even make sense. They just had a lot of fun concocting this show.
Yeah. Also, were you about to say about the creator?
Yes.
Take it away, Courtney.
I was doing some reading one day about MILF Manor and I found an article with one of the producers and someone was asking her, you know, they were saying, how'd you come up with the concept, the names, you know, it's a bit maybe on the nose or whatever. And she was like, well... how I came up with the show was that my son actually told me what the word MILF means mother I'd love forever.
No. Oh.
So I didn't think it was a problematic. You know.
What's wrong with MILF?
Mother I'd love forever.
I mean, that's lovely.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of show.
Yeah. That's still weird. It really is title first, concept 100th, you know?
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's a shame to hear that that doesn't work out, but I feel like I still need to watch this.
It's so entertaining.
I almost want to watch it more knowing it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. I would have been upset watching it knowing I was going to be watching MILFs and their boys.
Yeah. There's no season two. Let's be clear.
Yeah. It's like Real Housewives of Auckland. The first and only
season. So you guys are back in Melbourne at the same time that you've been revisiting a kind of reality classic set here as well. Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been falling asleep through most of the episodes.
Are you season one still, or...?
Yep, yes.
Who are you identifying with the most?
Ben Gillies.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Ben?
Ben, I love
Ben. Ben Gillies.
He's so cute. Doesn't he look like Johnny Depp?
Johnny fucking Depp.
My husband, Ben from Silverchair. Love it. Shine, shine, shine.
He's a rock star. He's a rock star.
Yeah. Anyway. But enjoying?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much more you can say about Real Housewives of Melbourne, is there?
No. It gets really sad when Gina's not there anymore, though.
Yeah.
Oh, but no. You've got a few years before...
I like Gina.
A few seasons before that happens. We had to wait years.
You've also been really into a cult lately. Haven't joined a cult, but watching...
We joined a cult.
A cult...
Yeah, we've been fascinated by a cult from a few years ago. Has anyone seen Lovers One?
Mother no. God.
Oh, wow.
I haven't, so I've put out... I was going to do like a no spoilers, but also it's a cult with celebrities involved.
I don't think we can do too many spoilers. But
you can look that up.
Let's say that somebody... Okay, so the basic premise is a lady who used to be a manager at a McDonald's in, I don't know, rural California... decided that she was in fact God and called herself Mother God and essentially took so much colloidal silver that she turned herself blue. That's the spoiler-free version. Yeah, but it's very good. And it involves Robin Williams in a very strange twist. Yeah, they download information from Robin Williams from heaven.
Oh, he's dead in it.
Oh, yeah, he's dead.
Oh, I
like a... He's one of the angels. Yeah.
Oh,
he's one
got,
of the...
She's got lots of famous randomly selected angels, right?
Yeah.
She's kind of does
One
like...
of them is actually Donald Trump as well. Yeah.
This sounds very Jackie-esque, actually. Mm. She's got her little angels.
I really like the very start of Love Has Won, the series, is like police body... This isn't a spoiler, it's the first minute of the show. Police body cams coming to the house, and they've clearly been there before. They're like, hey, we've just got to check in. And the guy who opens the door is like, yep, sure, the children are asleep. And they're like, where's mother? Like, the police are on first name basis,
yes.
Mother.
Mother God.
And the guy at the door just goes, mother is in rest. She has rested. And what the visual of a mother god at rest who has turned herself blue from ingesting silver, you're not prepared. You're not prepared for the visual.
No, it's the first 5 minutes.
But this isn't like an inspire. I feel like this isn't a chic inspiring cult. It's like a wild documentary. But like there are some very... Well, Jinxie, you love a kind of very hippie alfalfa sprouts kind of... group of people living together, pooling their money.
Yeah. I'm permanently like a couple of days away from joining if I met the right person.
The right pitch and you're in.
Yeah, I truly think I could. I'm wearing a necklace that I actually paid good money for at a meet and greet with my favourite Southern California-based cult. Actually, they're not a cult, they're the... an Academy of Science. They're the Unarians. And
the Unarians?
The Unarians.
Oh.
And they made psychodramas. Anyway, they sell their own jewellery.
Sorry, they made, like, movies?
Yeah, they made their... Yeah, they had their own cable channel. Very cool. These are very cool people.
How?
All dressed in jewel tones.
How many retrospectives have you done of their films?
They're impossible. They're very hard to see.
Oh.
Yeah, so I went to see them in LA. It was just fabulous. And then I met them and I was like... I don't get starstruck very often, but I truly was starstruck. Like, I could barely speak to one of them.
What do the Unarians kind of subscribe to?
They are very connected to their past lives and think that they can deal with their trauma of their past lives through making art. It's really beautiful, actually. I've got some paraphernalia as you're leaving the venue tonight. I don't. I'm kidding.
Some literature.
Some literature.
We'll leave you with some literature under your chairs.
Yeah. But I've got some great cultist information. I don't know. But my favourite bit of, like, outer space cult, because, like, the one that you're watching is, like, kind of outer space.
It's pretty galaxy brain.
Yeah. I thought you might be interested that the Heaven's Gate cult,
yes,
who ended in 1997... The last film they went to see was Mike Leigh's Secrets and Lies. Like, what? They saw it the day before. I don't think that that's what made them do it, but it's a beautiful film.
So
what's the
bad
film about? Any crossover?
No, it's two women talking. It's just like our podcast.
And they were all like, I'm out of here.
This is insufferable.
Like, this is the future.
Let's put on our Nikes and get out of here.
Yeah, totally. Anyway, moving on from cults.
You've also been enjoying some Nathan content. Nathan's been occupying your lives for a while.
Yep. I've just finished The Curse. Woo. Yep.
Kind of an impossible to...
Yeah, I've banned spoiler discussion on this one.
Respond to show, I found.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, Brody and I have watched the whole thing, right?
Yeah. I have one episode left, so I am...
Very dangerous position.
Terrifying.
I have all episodes left, which is even more dangerous, one might say.
But the fun bit is you have the best hour of the show left.
Oh, yeah.
Kate was like, I'm going to catch up and then we can talk about it on the podcast. And I was like, do not binge this show.
Yeah, don't
rush it. I don't want that for you. I don't feel like it's emotionally healthy.
Definitely not.
Do you have, like, we're talking, like, lots of shows that you're currently watching, but if you were... on a desert island, and you were stuck with one television show forever, do you have one?
MILF Manor.
MILF Manor.
Season one. Over and over and over again.
It's giving you what you want.
Absolutely.
In some ways, they were stuck on a desert island.
They were, yeah. A very beautiful one. Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Probably, for me. But only seasons one and three. Sorry, Kate.
Yeah,
I know. You've
got
a soft spot.
I love that season two, that silly two.
It's just like 37 episodes long, and it's not necessarily good.
Yeah.
But one and three for me.
The first thing I thought of was, remember that show, Midnight Gospel? It's like an animated show on Netflix, and I often rewatch it because I just, my focus is so bad, so I never, like, take everything in. So every time I rewatch it, it's like I'm watching it again for the first time or seeing something new. So that is my answer. Great show.
It's called Midnight Gospel. What's it about?
So it's animated by who are the people again?
I think it's the people that did Adventure Time. Yeah.
And it's, I'm going to forget everything. Who's the guy?
Duncan T. Russell.
Duncan T. Russell.
It's like his podcast, but they did an animated version of it.
Yeah, and he kind of...
But it's insane.
He interviews people for his podcasts. I often do this. I'm like, who's the lady David Bowie?
Tilda.
Tilda Swinton. And sometimes I forget, but I remember something. It's like a...
A clue.
Anyway, yeah.
Just a tiny clue.
But yeah, Duncan T. Russell, he interviews people, often kind of philosophers or, I don't know, it's always a really just, I feel like the conversations he has are really beautiful and kind of spiritual and then they animate it in this really, really incredible way, but very kind of like different universes. He's going to different universes. Yeah, it's great.
I need to watch it.
Yeah, I've never really heard of it.
Mm. The last episode is particularly good.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
Oh. What about you?
I feel like, okay, me on a desert island, first of all, I would just lay down and wait for like the universe to take me. It's like an apocalypse. It's like, how would you survive? I wouldn't. I'd stay still. I'm not going anywhere.
I couldn't do it. But if I were there and there was a TV, like, the boring answer is like Gilmore Girls,
yeah,
because it
great.
Is my comfort there, and also there's so much of it, which is
that's key.
Desert Manor, potential.
You'd be hard pressed, yeah. But Twin Peaks, you're fine.
Yeah, yeah. Fine. Twin Peaks season two, you could just take
yeah,
that one.
Just do that one for a few years.
You become really fond of it by the end. Stella the other day told me that I could just watch episodes one and the finale of season two of Twin Peaks, and in the middle just watch like a YouTube explainer.
Yeah, it's like 6 minutes long. It goes through all 27 episodes of season two. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. I've got to say justice for Josie, but, you know.
But I think I don't want to harp on it. I think it might be Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
Because I think it truly is like a modern day kind of like tragic
yeah.
fame story. It's like Showgirls over 11 seasons or something. These people who move to LA, like the first episode of that show is like, I'm going to run a record label. And then, like, I'm a model. And, like, I make films. And I'm an actor. We all just bartend here to, like, make ends meet. We're the hottest, Chris and Doty, the hottest, coolest people in LA. And then, like, the show gets famous. And they get famous for being on the show. And so then they just have to work at a restaurant as their fame job. Crazy. Sheena in season two, when she just started wearing, like, big glasses with no lenses to get attention, walking around on a crutch and had just one grey tooth. Perfect Halloween costume.
I've been in and out on VPR, as we all know, but yeah. I do love that episode or that like arc of my, unlike you, the actress girl with the excellent voice.
Laura Lee.
Laura Lee.
Oh, bring, wow. bring her back, although don't. I want her to be safe,
yeah.
psychically safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one.
What's yours?
Mine's, like, embarrassing, but I think it has everything. I was thinking about it on the way here. It's got everything. It's got, like, drama and comedy, thriller, nighttime scenes, and
crucial.
And also, like, a mystery. It's the L word.
Wow.
We don't Mysteries. Know who killed Jenny. You know, like we still don't know. So I could be on that desert island. I could figure it out.
That's is there a murder mystery?
Pardon?
Is there a murder mystery in it?
Yeah, Jenny gets found in the pool.
Oh, I don't. I've never
first
watched
episode of the final season. Oh never my god!
It.
What's the theme okay. song again, Kate?
No.
Learning, living, fucking,
talking, laughing, loving, running.
I'd like to change my answer to Shark Tank.
Okay. Oh,
because
okay.
there's so right. many episodes.
Yeah.
It would really,
yeah.
and yeah. I love it.
What's your? Great. Who's your favorite shark?
I like the lady with the short hair,
Tilda Swinton.
What's her name?
Tilda Swinton.
Oh. Naomi Watts. We don't know.
Was there? I sometimes my guilty pleasure is watching like couponing videos that are uploaded from TLC, the channel that made MILF Manor, on YouTube. Yep. But I've watched them all now. And so sometimes I do just type in, like, inventions and then the word Shark Tank and watch, like, the Scrub Daddy guy pitching Scrub Daddy to
was
the sharks.
Was that a Shark Tank?
Yeah.
I love Scrub Daddy.
And the way he sells it, I watched it and I was like, there are so many ways to use my Scrub Daddy and I didn't even know.
I've got a Scrub Puppy.
The smile is to clean your spoons.
What?
The smile of the daddy is to put your spoon in and it just wipes your spoon clean. You can put it in the dishwasher.
Oh my God, we are all learning. I love it.
Anyway.
Unbelievable.
This is what you tune in for, right?
Absolutely.
How to clean spoons.
Absolutely.
Should we do our...
get on to our also.
Our also's. Final segment. This is flying.
Wow.
All right, should we do our bit, our little sting?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ready? Three, two...
Thanks.
Harvey Sutherland original. It's kind of like the Leica version of that.
Yeah, move over, G-flip.
We're in town.
So we have asked our special guests, Courtney and Stella, to prepare two also-alsos for everybody this evening. Courtney, do you want to start?
Sure. Let me think. So I picked... a restaurant. It's not in Melbourne. That's all right,
that's
right?
That's fine.
It's Tom Tom?
It's not Tom Tom.
Is it Sir?
It's not Sir.
Pump.
But I really want to go to all those places. No, it's in... So I've been living in Joshua Tree, and there's this amazing restaurant called La Copine in a place called Flamingo Heights. And I just wanted to share it in case anyone's ever passing through. Save it on your Google Maps and go there, because it's beautiful, wonderful people own it, and it's really good food.
Is there a particular dish that we should be getting?
They change it kind of regularly, but... Oh, they do this shrimp roll prawn. You know, they call them shrimp.
You're allowed to say shrimp when you're in
America. Really good.
You still say water correctly, so it's okay.
That's it. Yeah.
Very good. Stella, you've got
one from me.
First one. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do a YouTube video. We talked about it at dinner the other night. It's from the vaults. It's the 2000s. The year 2000 ARIA Awards, where Madison Avenue performed a medley of Everything You Need and Who the Hell Are You, with the famous glass of chilled water.
We're actually paying tribute. We won't be drinking from them in tribute to Madison
Avenue. Put it down there. Yes, cheers. Thank you, Connie. Thank you, Connie.
For the listeners of the podcast, Courtney and Stella just put their glasses at the front of the stage, a la the ARIA Awards in the year 2000.
Leave a link in the show notes.
It's one of the most tragic things ever committed to tape.
Yeah, it is.
Tragic, aspirational.
I think it's great.
I mean, it's a beautiful shot though when the camera really picks it up. Mm-hmm. I think it's stunning cinematography.
Yeah.
I work in film, guys.
Do you think the cloudiness is from the temperature of the glass, the water,
or the hurriedly filled from a tap?
Okay, all right.
The sediment hasn't had a chance to settle before it got its shining moment.
I agree.
Are we getting any recognition for this? Has people seen this video? Okay, great. Perfect.
Do we need to explain?
It is a glass of water on a stage.
Yeah, it's inexplicable.
Is there anyone here that can organise a short documentary to be made about that night?
We need like an oral history.
Yeah, like oral history, interviewing the camera people,
Courtney, I feel
stage
like if
manager.
Any of us here, audience I'm assuming included, if anyone's going to reach out to Madison Avenue and get their side of the story, I think we know who it's going to be.
Stella.
It's my job. I'll get it done.
Brody, do you want to do your first one?
My first one is an album out on local favourite Chapter Music next week here in the live audience, but that's by the time this episode comes out, this album will be out. It's called Eurinda, and it's the self-titled album by the group, also called Eurinda. Why did I find that so tricky to describe? It's a self-titled album. Eurinda is a duo comprising Fred Leone, a butcher songman, and Samuel Pankhurst, who produces and scores lots of like contemporary dance works, a la you know who, Merce. And this album is incredible. I've been listening to it heaps. It combines like really like modern lush production with Fred's ancient First Nations language, and he's one of only three songmen who speaks from the Butchala people, and it's this really kind of endangered language spoken by only a few people in like the Fraser Coast region of Queensland, and it's out on our fave Chapter Music next week.
Beautiful.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. My first one is the book Stoneyard Devotional by Charlotte Wood. It's her latest fiction. We both loved The Weeknd, but this one is about a woman who returns to her regional hometown in New South Wales after her mum dies. She leaves her husband and ends up living with sisters of the nun variety. And she's not religious herself, but she's kind of living this very quiet life for a time. We don't know how long. And she writes really beautifully about like the harsh Australian environment. It's really incredible. And the grisly and mundane hospital stuff, religious fervour, her like issues with the sisters and what they believe. Need for escape, but the best thing about it is that she nails the smell of a mouse plague. If anyone lived through the mouse plague of Dubbo a couple of years ago, I was there for a family wedding.
Anyone?
It's all you could smell. Wow. Yeah. They were everywhere.
Haunting.
Anyway, she really nails the odour of the mouse plague. And I didn't expect to come across that in my life. And I'm really glad that I did.
What's the book called again?
Stoneyard Devotional.
Courtney, we're up to you. Your next one.
Okay, mine mine is just a simple YouTube throwback because I feel like we went down a YouTube hole the other day and it's one of my favourite videos, and it's Sheryl Crow and Stevie Nicks, and they're doing a duet of... oh my god, what's the song?
Strong enough.
Are you strong enough to be my man? And it's very beautiful, and I hadn't seen it in a long time, and I rewatched it, and I love it. Recommend.
Great.
I did that song at karaoke once, and it is slow and hard and emotional.
The best kind of karaoke.
It was one of those
song.
Karaoke rooms where it's an audience of strangers and everyone's really performing, and I was like, God, I feel like El Tuna. Quavery little voice.
That happened to me in Brand New Key once, and it was in like an open, ballet, Melanie.
Yeah, you think of songs differently when you got to perform them.
You sure do.
It's news. That's a fact you guys it's news to you.
Stella,
what's your second one?
Okay, mine is a place, landmark, also in Joshua Tree, California. It's called the Integratron. I don't know if anyone's been there before. It's basically a structure in the middle of nowhere in the desert, and it was built by a man named George Van Tessel, and he apparently communicated with aliens from the planet Venus. You know about this.
I've been.
Kate's nodding along. Yeah. And was told to build this structure on this very specific part of the Mojave Desert, where some aquifers meet and there's a lot of electromagnetic activity. And it was supposed to basically be a time machine or reverse the aging process. But he died before he finished it. And now they do cool sound baths in there with like blankets and stuff. It's great.
It's beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
You can go to Big Rock nearby in
Landis. Rock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And very see close. Where people who were abducted mm-hmm. or visited used mm-hmm. to go and have meetings and talk about it. Yep. It's beautiful.
Very cool. Must see.
Anyway, Brody.
I'm scrapping my planned second one because I feel like the vibes of abductions and cults lead into a recommendation of the thing Jinxie gave me for my birthday this week, which is the graphic novel Monica by Daniel Clowes. And I received it on Wednesday and I have finished it already. And it is incredible. Like Daniel Clowes, we did a Ghost World episode of the pod and talked a lot about his work outside of that film and graphic novel last year. And this is just like his magnum opus, like on the surface a daughter hunting down her mother who abandoned her as a child, but the places it goes and like how it deals with kind of like memory and imagination and fantasy and also like culty, apocalypse-y, like gothic themes and like maybe the decline of America, TBD. I'm like prepping time in my calendar to go down like Reddit rabbit holes to like see what people are saying about it. It is so good.
Every time you say prepping, I'm like, she's just going to full stop at prepping. Like, I'm prepping. Like, I'm going to be a prepper.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise anyone, I don't think. I like to be organized for anything.
That's true. That is very true.
What's the last one, Jinxie?
My last one is a local one. It's the vegan pistachio ice cream or sorbet from Peter Pippo. I don't know if all the Peter Pippos stock it, but it is like truly the best, like pistachio is my fave. It is the best vegan pistachio ice cream I've ever had. Once my girlfriend Zoe brought home some vegan ice cream and we were like, this is amazing. We were like, this is the best vegan ice cream. We ate so much, like whole tub kind of situation. Just like, this is, I cannot believe it's so good. I wonder what is in it, what the secret ingredient is it?
Dairy?
It was dairy. We were just like, how did they get it to be so good? They didn't bother. It was just ice cream. Anyway, this is as good as that.
Love it. Well, that's all our awesomes, but there is a bonus one. Jinxie curated the playlist you were listening to as you came in, and as per, the link will be on our socials and in the show notes. It is an especially good Jinxie playlist, if I can say.
Oh, thank you. It's going to be on the Instagram stories the second I walk off the stage.
Perfect. The cover image is maybe my favourite part. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you to the Malthouse for having us, and especially thank you to Courtney and Stella.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.